Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Before I went to visit my son in Colorado several weeks ago, I engaged in a pre-trip frenzy of house and yard work. I can blame this on my mother, who raised me to think that I should always leave my home in dying condition. And if it kills you to get it in that shape and get ready for your trip, well, so be it. So that's what I did. And for me, going to Colorado without doing a fair amount of trekking is like going to the coast and not visiting the ocean. It just doesn't compute. So while I was there, I did a lot of trekking. And then when I got back, the grass had grown, and so I... Goodbye, kitty. And so I engaged in another round of mowing. By that time, the toe that I had stubbed, or whatever I did to it before I left, protested. Not only that, I had added a sprained arch to it in my attempts to protect my toe. I woke up one morning and my foot basically said, "That's it. No more. Ain't gonna happen. You're not gonna use me." In such a way, I commenced 5 days on my couch. I built myself a comfy little nest with pillows to prop me up so I could use my laptop. At the same time, I could elevate my sore foot on the back of the couch. I had my phone. I had the remote if I wanted it. I had my Kindle. I had the dogs. I had the cat. Even the weather cooperated. It was a rainy and cool spell, so I couldn't have worked outside even if I wanted to. Plus, it slowed down the growth of the grass and the weeds. And even some of my clients cooperated, even though they didn't know it, because they had to reschedule for their own reasons. So with my little foot elevated and in this comfy pose, my foot gradually improved. The morning of day 5, I reached that comfortable place where it would be so easy to make it a day 6 or a day 7 or a day 8. The physical depression that originally enhanced healing was on the verge of becoming a very comfortable habit. Had I had someone else around to take up the slack, the desire to do that would have been even more overwhelming. So I faced that choice, and it was a conscious choice to get my butt off the couch and get going. This made me think about neurologist Oliver Sacks' book, A Leg to Stand On, in which he recounted his own experience when he was actually gored by a bull while mountain climbing, and long after the injury had healed, he was unable to use the leg. His brain had literally zeroed it out. And it was only a shock that reminded his brain that, hey, there was a functional leg there, and not only that, you could use it. Probably every veterinarian has either experienced or heard about dogs with broken legs who didn't use the leg during the recovery period, and then long after the leg was totally healed, they still didn't want to use it. There wasn't any pain there, but the brain had zeroed it out. And sometimes getting these animals to use those limbs can be pretty doggone hard because it's not costing them that much not to use it. Researchers are now starting to look into behavioral problems in humans the same way. Is there a situation where a person starts out with, for example, a legitimate reason to be depressed, and then at some point it becomes a habit? Relative to animals, I know this happens. In wild animals, whether we're talking about behavioral or mental or emotional depression or physical depression, Mother Nature has a way of maintaining the balance. If you try to do too much too fast, a predator's going to get you. On the other hand, if you remain in the depressed state after you're physically and mentally capable of going on, you're going to starve to death or succumb to infection or all of the other problems associated with limited physical and mental activity. But in our modern civilized world, thanks to modern medicine, it's not so easy to do that anymore. It's easy to get ourselves locked into processes and treatments that wind up reinforcing the problem rather than solving it. So there's always that balance. Tip too much in one direction or the other, and we wind up in trouble. The problem for us is that not only do we have to be sure that we don't tip too much in one direction or the other relative to our own physical and mental health, but also to ensure that we don't make choices that wind up tipping our animals one way or the other too.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.